What's up, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here, joined by Bill Schmidt of the Packers Radio Network. We're back with Carry the G Radio, the podcast, after a makeshift last-minute appearance on the radio this morning. Billy, I want to thank you, A, for the invite, mostly because it means I have some idea of what we can talk about. And usually I have some kind of rundown or an idea of what we are going to talk about on the podcast. This week I had no idea. But I love that you said you're talking about the streaming services and the proliferation of them and all of the different ways you now, as an NFL fan, have to, you know, basically navigate to find these games. People are upset about this. It's the year 2024, my friend. Why are people mad about the internet?
Nags, the year of our Lord 2024. I would have anticipated that we were past some of this. I get it because I think some of it's generational, right? Like, I talk about it with my, about it with my parents all the time. And like, my mom is hell bent on, she's not watching the Christmas Day games, not watching it. I don't have Netflix. I'm not getting this Netflix. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. And guess what? There's like 12 to 15 million people that already do. There will be
hooked up. Yep.
And next, as many people don't want to hear this, people believe that I am lying. They think I am shilling for the NFL because I am on their, one of their 32 teams radio network. They don't know who I am. They don't care. What they do know is they're going to get 1 to 2 million people to subscribe to Netflix to watch the Chiefs play on Christmas Day. Like, I fully believe that in my heart that they're going to get at least 7 figures worth of people to say, yeah, I'll do it. And then I'll cancel it. And then maybe they'll forget about it for 2 or 3
months. Maybe they'll
forget. And then they'll watch Suits. Exactly. And they'll like one, you know, true crime documentary on there. That's why these streaming services are doing it. Because they hook you and it's advantageous. And I was a hole today for saying it ain't changing. So like, you can continue to be upset about it. You can be mad. You can say you're not watching Peacock. You can say you're not watching Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. The numbers would say you are. They would say you are lying. And Nags, I have now, old enough, and I can use this to say, I think I've heard 3 different things we're going to kill the NFL within the last decade. I'm old enough to remember that protests during the national anthem were going to completely kill the NFL.
It was over.
Heard that steroids were going to kill the NFL because Brian Cushing and these guys had HGH. Doesn't seem to be doing it. Concussions. The last one, I believe, has at least the slightest ability to trim into the inventory of great players. That's the only one that I'm seeing really taking a bite out of the NFL, and the money around it is not doing it.
What's nuts, too, is that like, the NFL has done such an amazing, and I underline, italicize, amazing job of eliminating the discussion around head trauma and concussions when it comes to the game of football, simply by, well, we've made these ridiculous rules that now get you flagged for even the slightest infraction, oftentimes which has nothing to do with head trauma or concussions or whatever, but that's why it's there, for player safety, right? And of course, they had the settlement with the retired players, which, you know, is ongoing, but that's something that they've carved out an amount of money to kind of pay that out. And now, it was a dominant part of the discussion for 5-6 years. No one talks about it anymore. No. Now we all just talk about, oh, player safety. Oh, yes, you can definitely get head trauma. You can have long-term effects, etc. But it's a given now. It's not controversial. It's not discussed. It's just woven into the fabric of the kind of idea of the NFL, not even the game of football. Like, the National Football League just is accepting that. And the guys coming into the game accept it. It's crazy. That's what I mean when I say, like, we went from a 4-alarm fire. Like, I had so many parents reaching out to me for any number of years talking about, I'm never going to let my son play football, etc. And those people still exist. Like, I know that there are people who will never let their kids play the game. I totally get that. But it is no longer a discussion point in any way, shape, or form.
No, and it's forgotten in between the white lines and when the whistle blows, right? Like, during games, 1,000%. No one's going to talk about it. There will be, and I think this is where And I'm fully in belief that one of the main reasons why the league continues to push the international series is not only to get international money, dollars and cents for streaming services and things like that, that we started talking about, but I believe it's because they see the best athletes in the world playing in the NBA. They see the best athletes in the world playing in the MLB. Mm-hmm. You don't see as many of the best athletes in the world playing in the NFL. It's just not taught that much. It's also so ingrained in the youth levels of America where kids are better. They're, like, the best player in Slovenia might not be the best player in Minnesota because you grow up playing it so much. So that's one of the reasons why they want to continue incentivizing people watching football, people playing football around the country because, or around the world, because in this country, I think there are a couple more parents that are going to say,
absolutely
thanks,
not.
But no thanks, right? You're not playing it.
Yep.
The one that would really, I think, put more of a thought into people's minds. And this is the one that I think is, you're just starting to see the surface scratched with, is like Randall Cobb, when he said, I got three boys.
Yeah.
They will decide if they want to play football. I ain't telling them to. Right. Yeah. Like when you
I'm not
don't
pushing
have,
them into it. Right?
I'm not pushing them to play football. Then when you have Greg Olson, he's like, I got three boys and I want them to play any sport they want to. They like baseball better than football. I think there'll be more parents on the Randall Cobb side of, I'm not pushing my kids to play any sort of football. If they come begging and pleading,
they gravitate
to it.
Right. Right.
Then we'll have a conversation. You're still going to have kids growing up. Football's their favorite sport. Yep. You're going to have a few more parents saying, yeah, but you can watch it on Saturday and Sunday. You're going to play basketball and baseball instead. Yeah,
but I'll take you to those practices. I'm not putting you out there playing American football. And like, it's funny. I love that kind of viewpoint as far as the international push, because you're 1,000% correct. And it's the inverse of soccer, which is all the rage at the moment because of the two big tournaments that are happening.
Yep.
Finals on Sunday. I'm very excited. England, let's go. But that's like the inverse, right? Like, America has forever been on the upcoming like train when it comes to soccer, but we all know that is just never going to arrive because it's not ingrained in our populace the way it is around the world. Mm-hmm. And it's like almost, you know, the exact opposite of what you're talking about there. I do love, you mentioned the games that are on Peacock, right? Or Amazon or what have you. The Peacock thing is interesting to me because that's, for me, the one that's really kind of set the comment sections on fire whenever the Brazil game gets mentioned, because the fact that it's on Peacock streaming only. Peacock had that playoff game, which only available on Peacock, and they did banger numbers as far as signups go, retention wise, like people who stuck around after that first month, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that obviously is probably people forgetting because it was like, what, $5 a month? They're not trolling their credit card bill.
And the Royal Rumble was on the next week or 2 weeks later. Nags, you know, you watched the Royal Rumble. You stayed and watched WrestleMania.
You did. I did not. But like, much like I am watching the Copa and the Euros, which you are not. Like, you are watching Royal Rumble, which I am not. Which is fine. Yeah. You know, different strokes, different folks. It's the off season, but the NFL comes back very, very soon. And I feel like, as a podcast that, I guess, covers the Green Bay Packers, we are contractually obligated to mention the fact that Jordan Love's extension has not yet been signed, announced, what have you. I am of the opinion that it is, by the time you and I speak next, I suspect this contract will be done. What do you think?
I'm not as confident for a couple of different reasons.
Billy.
See, because
we embrace debate here at Care of the G Radio, the podcast.
Well, and there's a couple of different layers to it, right? I truly think David Mulugeta holds a lot more cards than people are anticipating he does. Agent for Jordan Love.
Yep.
This is the same man, and you and I talked about it on the radio show earlier today. This is the same man that after his quarterback, his client, had $30 million guaranteed for a year, told him to tell the team, that being the Houston Texans, before all the allegations, 24 allegations came through. Mm-hmm. You're never playing there again. Trade me. We need a new contract. We're not playing here anymore. Then the allegations came out. Then he was not suspended, suspended for a year, sat out, told not to be around the team, whatever it was. Yeah. He had made the statement he was never playing there again. So this is an agent who is, one, always gotten the number he expects, right?
Yes.
Whether or not it is the first number they throw out there, he expects to get one of the highest numbers at the position. He expects Jordan Love's going to get the highest number at the position. I don't think he is in any way sweating the fact that Jordan Love is going to be able to get this money.
Right.
I wonder, and I think this is deep down, so this has got to be, I don't know Jordan enough to know if this is something he'd be interested in. I don't know David Mulligetta to know if this would be something that they're interested in. But I do wonder if there's a little bit of the, just wait till we get what we could get next year, right? We'll just wait until Dak signs. Just wait until Tua signs. So that's the part of me that is thinking, I'm just not positive. Because I want to be with you. If indeed waiting is completely off the table, then I'm with you. It's done by the next time we talk. But if it's not fully off the table, if betting on yourself one more time isn't fully on the table, isn't at least a part of the conversation, then I think that they're at least sitting in the back saying, we could be the first $300 million guy.
The one thing that works in the Packers' favor here is, okay, fine. Yeah, go ahead and play your year out, and then we'll just franchise tag you. You know, like that's
the part of
kind
it.
Of
yep.
arrow in the quiver that the Packers have. Also, and this is me really getting deep into the tea leaves, but when I asked Brian about Jordan's contract on Cheesehead TV a couple weeks ago, one little phrase that he uttered got me really confident. And that was, and it's funny that you are the one person I've spoken to kind of consistently here who's mentioned the agent, right? Like, and he is obviously a significant player here.
Yes.
He's a significant player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, he has lots of really high profile clients, especially at the quarterback position. I totally agree with everything you just said in regards to his viewpoint and how he's approaching, undoubtedly, these negotiations. But Brian did say, and I don't know if this is, he let it slip or he did say it, Russ Ball has a great relationship with David Mulligetta.
Yep.
That one little phrase has got me pretty confident because Brian knows what David's reputation is. You know, like whether it's David now or Drew Rosenhaus back in the day, there are certain agents where you just know, okay, you're in for a negotiation. Like that is someone who is going to take you to the wire every single time. And Rosenhaus did it 2 years ago with Aaron Jones before the pay cut where he kept him around for another year. And then this year we all saw wasn't taking another pay cut, out the door he goes.
Yep.
I think David is not similar in the sense of like showmanship or whatever. Like we all know how many times we've seen Drew Rosenhaus on TV over the years, and that's changed somewhat recently. But I do think David is a shark in how he approaches, okay, I'm going to get every bloody cent I can out of these negotiations.
This has always angered me, always triggered me in the conversation. The agent works for the player.
Right.
Fact. Right. However, you hire somebody for what their reputation is.
Yes,
you
sir.
Hire somebody for what Correct. They do and what they are known to do. You don't
What do you
hire...
think they've been talking about for 3 years as Jordan has ridden the bench?
Yeah. In 21, David Mulligetta is hyping up Jordan saying, you're going to get one chance, you're going to light the world on fire, and I'm going to get you the biggest contract in the NFL. They've been talking about this. This is why you hire him. Just like in the baseball terms, you don't hire Scott Boris to re-up the Milwaukee Brewers like our guys Drew and KB would joke about, right? You don't hire Rich Paul in the NBA to not at some point maybe play with LeBron James or to get the biggest amount of money that you possibly can do. You hire the guy.
Deal you can get. Yes.
You hire the guy for what they're known to do. And he is known to get the most guaranteed money. That's a big part of it. And know how to get it up front. Now, this is where, and I'm glad you brought up the Russ Ball part when Goody dropped it on him. Mm-hmm. I wonder if part of the reason why they're good friends, why they have a good relationship is they both speak in guaranteed money.
That's the Packers. The key.
The Packers talking signing bonuses. The Packers talking guaranteed upfront
Thank you.
Money
well,
and
a
direct
this is
deposit. And that's where it could really step up.
this is my biggest question about this negotiation, and I'm fascinated to see if and when this thing gets announced and we finally get to kind of dive into some details of the contract. I've said this a couple times on Daily, but it's something I haven't seen mentioned a whole lot in the kind of firmament here around this subject. Are they going to treat Jordan Love's contract like they did as far as, like, Aaron Rodgers was obviously Aaron Rodgers, and he was the only player they have ever had guaranteed money kind of past that first year. They didn't even do it for Davante Adams. They wouldn't. You know, that, and this was the, you know, standoff between TJ Watt and the Steelers, you know, where TJ had his sit-in, and, like, that was literally the Steelers caving on that singular issue. It's something the Packers wouldn't do with Davante Adams. Are they going to do it with Jordan Love? Is Mulugeta going to push for this? Like, I am fascinated to see if that's something the Packers do, because, like, again, Andrew Brandt's talked about this, and I think Joel Corey has talked about this. Rodgers is the only player they've done that for, and he's clearly a massive exception because of the fact he's Aaron Rodgers.
You know? Love, you brought up.
Do they feel that way about Jordan Love yet? I don't know.
And I think, again, this is all part of the conversations that none of us know. But I wonder if that's part of well, that'll be the next one. If we get to the
next
one.
Well, that's my question.
See that
exactly.
One. Because.
And does Mulugeta let that slide? Does he allow that?
Well, because,
most modern contracts in the NFL, it's certainly trending towards, no. We have guarantees for at least 2 or 3 years. Like, the Packers, they want to pay as they go.
And they want to see an inflated cap number in year three or four.
Yep.
Because that either means release or renegotiation.
Yep.
Right? So, like, there's parts of them that go through it. I also, though, wonder, now, $11 million enough to feed your family. But Jordan Love is going to have another person join his family once he gets married, right? Yes, I don't know if they're planning on having young children. I don't know if they have dogs. I don't know if they have cats. I don't know if they have iguanas, right? But he's got more mouths to feed now because he's gonna continue to grow his family.
Starting a family, yeah.
I think my man's going to want some upfront cash. I think this is going to be signing bonus that blows people's minds, and they say,
Dude, but
look at this number and that number and that number. That's where it goes. It's going to be an eye staggering cash right away. And I, for one, am very, very excited if indeed a signing bonus finally gets to the nine figures. Listen, I love everybody getting cash.
I'm
excited. They're making enough money. Let me see it, because he's going to get a bunch. I'm glad you bring up Joel Corey, because he has, I think, found different layers of everyone's contract that have been
his
different.
Stuff, his work is
that's my favorite part.
I mean,
of his.
You can tell he's a former agent who did this at a high level for a very long time, because, like, you read his stuff, my mind starts hurting sometimes because he's, you know, really getting in the weeds.
Some of the language I didn't even know was a thing in the conversations. Yeah, he changed the game for me in that realm.
That's it. And we had him here on Cheesehead TV a couple months ago talking about, you know, Jordan's potential deal. And I don't think anything's changed in that, like, everything he said. So if people want to check it out, you should do so here on the channel. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to be sticker shock for fans. I have zero doubt, especially now after we've had Goff and Lawrence sign their deals. I think I'm not going to say this is going to blow them out of the water, but I do think it's going to be bigger than both of those.
Well, and it's going to be bigger in some way. Yeah, it's going to be some
every way.
Oh, you think he just every single one of them? See,
he's going to set the market. That's my expectation.
Yeah, and I think that's where they set the market in one term, and I think that's the term of guaranteed upfront money. Like,
right.
Because they have that war chest, they have the cash. Yeah. They're sitting on it. I know they already know they're going to have to spend their $450 million or whatever Florio is saying in this Sunday ticket deal.
Oh,
they have
that
cash in the back. It'll be okay.
That ain't going
to
happen.
Are you getting your money for Sunday ticket?
Eventually, if this thing ever, like, you know, gets to the Supreme Court and gets struck down, then yeah.
Come on.
Damn right.
Let's go.
I was a Sunday ticket subscriber for a decade plus, man.
Until, I was going to say, you have to be one of the OGs. I only have 2 years of service on it, so I'm only going to get $14.
Dude, I was on the Sunday ticket tip back in North Carolina like 25 years ago. Are you kidding me?
Jeez.
You got your south-facing digital, what is that thing called? The satellite
dish? I was going to say, you were up there moving the DirecTV dish to make sure you got the right
100%, 100%. Dude, first
man
apartment here in New York, my landlord, I had to get a special permit to put it on the side of the apartment building and so it could face the correct way just so I could get Sunday ticket.
So you get your Sunday games. Ticket.
I'll never forget it.
That's what I'm talking about. That's carrying the G.
My then girlfriend was like, is this really necessary? I'm like, just don't talk to me. Yes. Of course it's necessary.
I understand why she was your then girlfriend. Yeah.
What kind of question is that? Well, she
that didn't last much longer after.
Well, no, it did. She ended up becoming my wife and is now my ex-wife. Oh, sorry. 16 yeah. plus okay, years well, later. No, it's fine. It's fine.
That, yeah.
It is. Well, we have three kids. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. And life is good. So all's well.
All's well that ends well, baby. This one's going to end even better because it's going to put some cash back in your pocket and it's going to ultimately go to those three beautiful girls.
Who are the funniest people on the face of this planet. On a total side note here, my girls went to the Mets game yesterday. Ooh. I didn't even know they were going to the Mets game. They just went. I just started getting texts from Citi Field.
Wow.
From my girls. And because wow. Madeline, my oldest, really loves the ballpark, like just the feet hanging at the ballpark, yeah. right? Which this is what I tell people all the time. It's like, are they Brewers fans? Are they Mets fans? I'm like, they're just hanging at the ballpark fans.
I love
and
that.
They were like in the nosebleed sections way up top where like Cowbell Man resides and mm-hmm. they were eating little ice cream out of the little helmets and
have to did the same thing.
They like you can get a walk up ticket for like $19. So why not?
And you know what? And I don't care. Many people say the baseball's dying and everything. Go to a game and tell me 30,000 people are walking through the gates. 20,000 people are walking through the gates. It's not dying. It's still
working. Here's the thing. It's never going to be the quote national pastime that it had been romanticized as for mm-hmm. so long. Right.
Yep.
But it's just a different relationship to the American public, which is fine. You know, like people always jive about like, oh, the NFL is king and whatever. And we were talking right at the start about like all the things that are going to kill the NFL. And like, look, everything is cyclical. Yes. Someday, maybe when my grandkids are walking the earth. Yeah. The NFL may can lose itself and fall from that perch, right?
Maybe.
I don't see it coming anytime soon, though. Mm-mm. But that doesn't mean like it's over. It still exists. Boxing still exists. Boxing was at one point what the NFL is now, or even what baseball was. You know, it's like it's just a different relationship to the public. That's all it is.
And yes, boxing is consumed remarkably different, drastically different. Walk into a sports book on a night where there's a pay-per-view and tell me it's dead.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I used to think exactly that. Like, oh, it's a dead sport. No one's watching, blah, blah, blah. Until my whole fucking Twitter feed, every single night that there's some fight of significance is nothing but tweets about the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like,
people are watching.
Everyone is watching. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yes, it's on pay-per-view or whatever, but like they're fucking watching it. There's zero doubt. Mm-hmm. Like
they're watching it. Yeah, and it continues to, it's where I said today, I will hand raise in air, allow people to mock me, ridicule me, embarrass me. If I have a microphone in front of me, hopefully I do. If indeed there's a time when the NFL is no longer king, you can do that.
Sure.
I'm going to bet the under that it's going to happen. Right. You're going to be stomping on my grave. If indeed we're talking about badminton or lacrosse,
someone out there
pickleball being better and more in demand on watching television than the NFL.
So upset at you right now, and they have made their mark. They are like, I am going to tell my child that someday the NFL will no longer be king, and I want my child to find Bill Schmidt's grave
do the gritty
do the gritty on it, whatever, and then that kid probably won't have that opportunity because the NFL will still be popular. And then that kid will tell his kid.
Yes.
It'll be a generational thing. Someone out there, I can feel it, is like, someday, Bill Schmidt, my ancestors will stomp on your grave.
I'm going to make that son of a bitch pay. I'm going to make that kid pay. Listen, until then, I'll just be the smart ass. That's
you'll just be right. You'll just be right is what you'll be.
I like being right. I'll stay on this side of it.
So I'm going to be in town pretty soon. I think, like 2 weeks from now? The 25th is when I arrive. So
come on, let's eat.
Training camp, and we're going to be, having beers.
We have a...
I can't wait.
Yeah, we have some special stuff coming. on the radio side as to where and when, how we're going to be able to broadcast. From what I've heard, we're going to be in maybe the most desired location at Reinitschke Field. Elevation, a little bit of a perch.
What?
Might be right in the middle of both practice fields.
Wait, are you on the nice little on the side where the fans are or the landing thing? Please tell me they're going to give you some kind of covering, some kind of shade.
There will be a 97.3 The Game tent from what I've
heard. There you go. Now you're living right. Now you're living right. Now you are living right. Because let me tell you, without that, that would have been in misery. But
With the tent, otherwise we would have been brought to by SPF 50.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's awesome. Really fun.
That's where I used to stand during the night practices. That spot is so primo.
It is the best. I think it's the best spot around. Now, is it awesome walking back and forth on the sideline and getting your spots? Great. Absolutely. Is it awesome conversing with all of us on the sideline?
Of course.
I love being able to go and talk to my guy, Mike Clemens. Like, it is one of my favorite parts of practice. Absolutely. However, tough to do while you're doing a radio show. So
Broadcasting. So
I'll be broadcasting while practice is going on. And then I can do all that chopping up after, at, you know, and doozies.
So
and
what
singing.
You're telling me. Is I'm going to come up and say hi. That's what
you better be
here.
Better be coming up and
that's
saying
the message I'm getting here. All right. Very
only good. Bad thing is the high, you're going to have to grab a headset.
Well, that's if that's the price of doing business, it is the price of doing business. It's what are you going to do? You know,
we all got to make sacrifices.
Yeah. You gotta do some work every once in a while. I'm flying out there for God's sakes. I might as well do a little bit. Billy, this is always great. Thank you so much. Great to talk to you on the radio this morning. Great to talk to you here. And like I said, less than 2 weeks, I'm gonna be in town. We're gonna have some beers, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. Can't wait.
I can't wait, dude. I can't wait. We're gonna have so much fun. The pads are about to come on. We're a week and a half away from a practice starting, 2 weeks away from pads, and more importantly, we're getting so dangerously close to some Carry the G.
There you go, brother. There you go. Hey, you know, just because I can, you want to see something? You want to see?
Yes, I want to see something.
Want to see something? Here you go.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that, Bill?
That is awesome. Motel Men track that.
No. Jason Fabus,
Jason.
Great musician. He did that for us last year. We utilized a version of that, the polka version, on our watch parties. But this year, I think we're going to rock with his country version here. It's a lot of fun. And then Cody, our boy here at CSET TV, put together the visuals. It's good fun. Good fun, man. Carry the G will be back in stores across Wisconsin. In about 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Creamy and cold and delicious.
From the land of the green and gold. Gonna be a lot of fun.
From the land of the green and gold. That's awesome. Let's go. That's the song of the summer.
Right.
That Morgan Wallen and Shaboozy song. We need to start blasting that through some speakers.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, you might be hearing that on 97.3 The Game pretty soon. So be on the lookout.
If I have anything to say about it.
Keep your ears open. All right, there we go. Billy, thank you so much, brother. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Be safe.